Father, we do just give you praise for what you're doing in this hour, even among the children, Lord God. And we do just, Lord, it just overwhelms my heart just to see what you're doing with them and how they're learning and being taught of the Lord. And Father, just as your word says, that our sons and daughters will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. And Father, just even, I guess this doesn't really go with the message, but just even in light of the baby dedication and the season and time that we are in with the things coming into the world, that we pray for all the children, Lord God, that they will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Even in the midst of troubled times, that you would cocoon them in your presence, and you would teach them at an early age to walk with you and talk with you and be led by you, Father. We just pray that you'll bring a real sharpness among the young ones, we ask in Jesus' name. And Father, we even pray that among us, the older ones, and we want to be taught of you as well. And we just thank you for these teachings on covenant, Lord, that you truly are a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Not only did you make a covenant, you cut it with the precious blood of Jesus. You did the whole thing, and you've invited us to come into it and partake of it, Lord, and not just lay it aside like it's nothing, but it's something that we can pick up and we can run with it. And Lord, we pray that you, even as we hear the word, that you will stir these truths deep within our heart in a new way, Lord. We ask that you come and just stir us each, in each one listening within, like we've not been stirred before with these messages on covenant, Lord. We pray that you would give us a deeper revelation of it, that you would take Ken aside, and that your river would just flow in and through him, that even though he's made his plans, that you would just bypass everything and you would speak through him, not by power nor by might, but by your spirit, and that your word that goes forth will not come back void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to do. And Father, we'd pray even through the proclamation of this, that these teachings will become bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. They will become such a part of us that we will meditate on it day and night until it becomes our very own, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Wow, that was a really special baby dedication. Brian, you have taken baby dedications to a new level, I have to admit. Yeah. I think it's the sport coat you wore. I think that's got to be the reason, got to be the key to it. But no, it's really, really good. And so anyway, we praise God for that. What I'm going to do today, because I really feel like the Lord wants to do some ministry today. And so there's no way I'm going to get through this whole message and then have enough time for ministry. So Brian asked me to preach for the next three Sundays on healing and health. But you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago that I did a two-week series on living by covenant and walking by covenant. And then I had said in that we would also have three other little mini series, one on health and healing and one on provision and one on protection. And so anyway, Brian wanted me to go ahead and do the one on health and healing for a couple of reasons. One, there are a lot of people who are really battling issues right now. It's amazing how much is going on in our little fellowship about where there's a need for health and healing. And then I think also that Brian didn't want to preach for a while, so as well. No, he's doing a great job. He's right. I mean, how many of you are in the Forerunner School and been kind of listening to some of the end time teachings and everything? It's like, you know, you need an engineering degree to understand Daniel's 70 weeks, but it's been really, really powerful. And so that takes a lot of time. He's still finishing up that, so he asked me to go ahead and teach these sessions. And so I'm gonna start it. I don't want to rush through some of this because it lays a real biblical foundation for health and healing. Because I do really feel strongly the Lord wants to do some ministry in a couple of areas related to preparing us to trust the Lord and for health and healing. And so anyway, let me get started with it. And then we'll go to about noon or so in terms of the teaching, and then we'll do some ministry. Because I really believe part of what God wants to do in this hour and part of what he wants to do with this whole covenant series is that he wants to just bring some restoration in our faith level for us for our faith to raise up. There's a scripture verse that the Lord has really put on my heart, and I shared it with Michael with some of the stuff he's going through as well. But I really think it's a word probably for all of our church in terms of where we are in a season right now. It's from Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, where it's written this: "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us." And I think really we've been through, probably not just us, the church has been through a time where there has been a breaking and a brokenness where it's almost been like we have been, we've been torn. But now we're entering into a new season. We're entering into a season where God wants to, where he's torn us. And it's been there's been purpose in it. The purpose has been that he's breaking away a lot of old and dead things in order to prepare us for what is coming in the hours ahead and the years ahead, and help us to focus on Christ, help us to focus on being conformed into his image and intimacy and all the things that we've talked about. And there's been a breaking process that's necessary and that's gone through. But as we are entering a new season, I think what has happened in this old season is our faith for the goodness of God, our faith for the things of God's covenant promises to us have been harmed a little bit, have been kind of defeated a little bit, taken away a little bit. I don't know if anybody else is feeling that or not. Is anybody else feeling that? Raise your hand if you're feeling anything like that. So God is wanting, what I think God wants to do with this group of series is to build up our faith, build up our trust, build up our understanding that God is good, that God is a good God and he wants good things for us. And that even the breaking and the difficult things that we've been through, even those are part of God's goodness, because he's using those things to prepare us and to conform us into his image, to make us ready for the end times and for eternity. But he wants to release an anointing upon us, and I believe the church beyond us, that God is good. God is good. And he wants good things for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bring health and healing to us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to give us those things that we want. Not to take us away from him, from focus on him, but he is a good God and he wants to do good things in our lives. And so that's what I think the overall theme of this is. The title of this overall series is Learning to Live by Covenant. And the title of this next 3-week series is to refresh our faith for health and healing. And in this message, and I'll probably have to touch on it some more next week, we want to talk about 5 threads that show from the scripture that show that God's will is for us to walk in health and healing, and that he wants to bring health and healing into our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't use doctors. I mean, there are times when, a lot of times when we use doctors, I believe that's a gift from God. But there are other times when he wants to heal totally apart from that. In fact, I just want to even start out by just sharing a few testimonies, just to kind of hopefully build up our faith a little bit that God is a healer. And even though maybe we haven't seen many actual healings, divine healings in the last season of time, God is a healer. I know that, a lot older than most of you guys, But in 1983, which is what, close to 40 years ago, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was also a move in the church at that point in time where God was doing signs and wonders. He was doing healings. He was doing miracles. And it was an exciting time for me because God began to use me some in health and in healing, praying for the sick. Now, I have a point of where I'm heading with this, but I mean, I remember we were in the Baptist church back then, and there are a lot of miracles that were taking place through in the church that we were a part of. I remember one, it's been a long time, you know, it's been close to 40 years now, but there was a lady, I think her name was Nancy. Anyway, she had terminal cancer, and I remember being at the hospital. They were going in to do some exploratory surgery to see if they could help her with this cancer. And I was sitting in the waiting room with her husband. And the doctor came. I'll never forget this. The doctor comes out, and he had this shocked look on his face. And he said, "Well, we opened her up, but there was no cancer." And so we had, when I say we, the church had been praying for her healing. And the doctor was surprised. And so anyway, she went home a little bit later. And she was healed of the cancer. Now, she had a lot of other health issues, and she eventually died. But it was not from cancer. And it was several years later, too. She lived several years later after that. So there was that. And then in some of these I've shared in the book, Learning to Hear God's Voice, and you probably heard all my stories. But I remember when Michael was, I think he was 6 or 7 years old. He was on playing a little league baseball team, T-ball or whatever. And there was a little boy on his team that I think he was in an accident of some sort. I forgot exactly what happened to him. But anyway, he was in the hospital in a coma. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, I was driving down the interstate. We'd been praying for him, but driving down the interstate, and the Lord said to me, I heard his voice, and he said to me, go to the hospital and pray with them, with the parents. So I did. I did it, and I knew where the room was or whatever. And I went, and we laid hands on him and prayed. And he came out of the coma that very day and went home. And there were other times. I remember even after we started the church, and I've shared this a bunch of times too, at the Noonday Association. We were part of the Baptist Association. We had one of these really boring meetings at the Noonday Association. And so, you know how in the Baptist church with the end, you get in a circle and hold hands and pray. And we had a closing prayer. And as we had this closing prayer, I had this pain, this sharp pain right down in here just for a minute. And so, you know, I mean, this was totally out of the realm of that group as to what they would believe. And but I took a chance and I said, look, does somebody have something going on right in here or something like this? And this older lady, I mean, she's probably younger than I am now, but she was older at the time. And she said, she started screaming. And she said, what? You know, and anyway, nobody knew this, but she was getting ready to go for surgery the next day because she had a growth down in this area of her body. And so the whole group, we prayed for her. And then when she went and had the procedure, the doctor said it was gone. It's gone. And so, you know, there are a lot of stories like that where back in the 80s where God was healing. And I mean, this one didn't include me, but it was another one where because a lot of you have come out of the same church of Noonday Baptist. And George Barnett, who was the pastor there, he had a real belief in healing and everything. And there was a, man who, faithful member of the church, his son, who was, I'm not sure, 10 maybe or something at that time, had liver cancer, was diagnosed with liver cancer, which was inoperable. And he prayed, his prayer was this. He prayed, Lord, either heal him or move the cancer where it can be done, surgery can be done. And God moved the cancer from his liver to his kidney. And they took his kidney out. And, you know, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure he's still living and doing well. And this is, 30, 40 years later. So God is a healer. You know, not always. I'm going to share one more story. I don't remember the details about this, but I remember Robert and Judy and Donna and I went. There was some, Judy and Robert may remember it, but there was a lady somehow that was at her point of death and wanted us to come pray for her. And so we went over to her house and we went into the bedroom where she was and we prayed. And it was one of two or three times that I really felt or saw, not just felt, saw the actual visible glory of the Lord in the room. It was kind of like a yellowy, you could feel it, but there was a yellowy cloud of glory there. And so we prayed for her healing. And we were pretty sure, okay, God's going to heal this lady because of that. But even though the presence was so strong, he did not heal her, and she went on to be with the Lord. So we don't always know. But here's the point I was trying to make here. There was a season where God was really moving and healing. And even after we started the church, and I won't take any time to share more stories, but there's some at the beginning days of the church too. But it was almost like that God lifted all that. Part of it was our call as a church, I think. Part of it was that. But part of it was that season was over with, and God, you know, was not the thing he wanted to focus on. But here's my feeling that going back to Hosea chapter 6, there's been a breaking season, but I believe that the church is entering into a season where God wants to bring his healing power once again back into the church. Now, when I get into the teaching, I'm going to make sure we understand our focus is not on signs and wonders and healing. But I'll have to get to point 4 or 5 before I get to that, which will probably be next week. But our focus is on Christ. But even in the focus on the man Christ, God wants to touch people's lives with health and healing. If you read through the book of Acts, you know, the message was Christ and him crucified. But there were massive signs and wonders that went on all throughout the book of Acts, not just in the early part of it, but even toward the end when Paul was on his journeys and going towards Rome and all of that, he still did many, 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 many miracles. God did many miracles through him. And so what I believe God wants to do is he wants to restore our faith to trust him in this area. And I believe what's happened because of the tearing and the breaking, in a lot of ways, we've lost that faith. We've lost that trust. And he wants to reboot it or restore it in this hour. And so what I want to do for about 15 minutes, I want to go as far as I can talking about 5 streams where it's God's will for us to walk in health and healing. You know, a lot of us have grown up with the message, the approach to healing. Lord, if it be thy will, heal this person. If it be thy will, heal. Well, I want to say it is God's will that we walk in health and healing. Now, he may not always heal, but we'll all be healed when we get to heaven. So ultimately, we'll all be healed. But it is God's will that we walk in health and healing. And when we know that it's God's will, it changes the way we pray. It changes the way we believe. It makes us, when we know it's God's will for us to walk in health and healing, then we pray, we believe, we trust from a different paradigm than if we not aren't sure. So that's what we'll start this series, is talking about five streams where it is God's will for people to walk in health and healing. And we'll start out, most of them start with the letter C. The first one is covenant. And we've talked a lot about that, so I'm not going to talk too much about covenant. But we are in covenant with Christ, and as we talked about in this last series, through that God binds us together with Him as one, where He has a call upon our life, He has a hold upon our life, where we are called to take that walk into death, which we talked about in the last series, where we take the walk into death and say, I live for you. I die to my old way. I die to myself. I die to all these things, but I choose to live for you, Lord. But He took the walk unto death on our behalf too when He went to the cross. He took the walk unto death and He died that we might have a new life, that we might have life and have it in abundance. He took that walk unto death. And one of the steps of covenant making, not only the walk unto death, as we, in all this we talked about in the last series, was that there was a declaration of blessings and curses in the ancient covenants. They would take the walk unto death. Both parties would stand between the pieces of the covenant, and they would say, "This is the terms of the covenant, and I bless you with these things." They would call upon in ancient covenants. They would call upon the deity there, and they would say, "I bless you with these things, but if you disobey, I curse you with these curses." Of course, we know that Christ, He blessed us, but He took the curse. You know, Deuteronomy, let me read this verse. Deuteronomy 21:22. Remember, this is book of Deuteronomy is the book about the covenant promises and the blessings. And here's one of the curses. Deuteronomy 21:22-23. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. And so when Christ died on the cross, He fulfilled that. He became the curse so that we're heirs to the blessings of God, but not subject to the curses of God. Now, the curses of God include sickness and disease and things. Deuteronomy 28, you can look at it. But according to Galatians chapter 3, we've been redeemed from the curse of sin, death, and the law. So we're heir to the blessings of God, but not heir to the curses. And then as a part of that, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15 and 16 says this: "The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and He will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but He will lay them on all who hate you." The point here is that when we're walking in covenant with God, one of the blessings that God has declared over us is that He will remove from us disease and issues of sickness and infirmity, and that we shall walk in healing and health. Now, like I said, you know, it doesn't always happen, but it's a foundation that we need to live by. It's the basis for what we need to live by as we live in covenant. So the first thread that says that God's will is for us to walk in healing, God's will is for us to walk in health, is the fact that we're in a covenant relationship with God. And out of that covenant relationship with God, He says, "I am your healer. I will heal your diseases." And He's redeemed us from the curse of sickness, the curse of the law, which if you look at Deuteronomy 28, starting with about verse 15 or 16, is curses of tumors and boils and just itches and all sorts of things. God has redeemed us from that curse of the law, Galatians chapter 3. So it's God's will. That's the first thread of thing, that God's will, based on covenant, is that he wants us to walk in health and healing. Now, the second one, I'm going to try to do three of these, and the two I'll save till next week. The second one is his character, God's character. His covenant says that his will is to heal, but also his character says that it is his will to heal. If you look at the character of God, the nature of God, it is for us to live in health and healing. In ancient times, someone's name represented more than just a name. You know, we a lot of times name our children just based on a name that we like, maybe a family name or something like that. But in biblical days, the name represented the character of the person. And so you see that even in covenant. You know, you see it in a marriage covenant. The wife takes on the name of the husband as part of the covenant relationship. When Abram and Sarai entered into the covenant with God, what did God do? Part of what he did, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. And he changed Sarai's name to Sarah. What did he put that breath of God, that sound, that breath of God into their name? And so it represented a change, not only a name change, but a change of character. And so here's a quote from the International Bible Encyclopedia. It says, while our modern names are almost exclusively designatory, that's a hard word to say, and intended merely for identification, the biblical names were also descriptive and often prophetic. Religious significance nearly always was inherent in the name. A parent related his child to the deity or declaring its consecration to the deity by joining the name of the deity with the service which the child would render, or perhaps commemorating in the name the favor of God and a gracious gift of the child. And so the point is that God's name represents his nature. It represents his character. It represents who he is and how he wants to relate to us. And of course, there are many compound names of God. There's the ones Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Makedesh. There's a lot of names, but one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. That's his name. That's his character. That's his character. And he says this, and we find this in Exodus 15, verse 26. And God said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. I, the Lord, am Jehovah Rapha, that compound name of God. I am the Lord, your healer. And so that's part of his character. Not only is it a covenant relationship, but it's also his character, is his nature, is to be a healer for us. Amen? Now, I want to do one more. I want to talk about the cross, and I want to talk about for the purpose of the kingdom, but I'm going to wait to save those two to next week. The cross, I want to really have enough time to really dig into that, because there is healing in the atonement of the cross. I think you can demonstrate that clearly from the scriptures. You know, some say that there's no healing is not part of the atonement. And I heard Jack Deere say this years and years ago, if it's not part of the atonement, where does it come from? It comes from the cross. And you can see it in the scriptures. Not that we're always healed. We are when we get to heaven, for sure. But the more we believe now in the cross providing healing, the more we'll walk in health and healing now than we do. But so that's the point of all this. The Lord wants us to learn to trust Him in these things. Now, that doesn't mean we never use a doctor. Yes, we do. But we want to trust Him for our health. We want to trust Him in our healing. And we want to call on Him when we have a need to be our healer. But we'll talk about that one next week. Now, the one I want to talk about today is because I really believe God wants to do some ministry there. And that's the area, the third thread that we'll talk about today is compassion. Now, you know, we've got covenant, we've got character, and now this one is compassion. God is a compassionate God. God is a compassionate God. This is where I want us to do some ministry in a minute. I think because God has torn us, Hosea 6, because He's torn us, we think that God is not, and maybe subconsciously, but we think that God is not good. And I want to say to you that God is good. God is good. God is compassionate. He is a compassionate God. Now that word compassion, this is a good definition of that word compassion is, give me your attention now, that word compassion is it's like God is moved, the meaning of that word, He's moved in His bowels or in His inward self. He's moved in that. And out of that burden or that heart or that inward desire where He feels the hurt, where He feels the issues that people are dealing with, it moves Him to want to act on behalf of us when we're in that issue of need. Now, that's not always health and healing, but that's part of it. That's a big part of it. In the scriptures, I'll show you in just a minute, is that He was moved with compassion. He was moved with a feeling the hurt that people were feeling, feeling the burden. And out of that, He was moved to want to touch them with healing. Now, let me just read some of the scripture verses. Got my whole message out of order here. I had all this really neat order here, but let's see. Here we go. Matthew 9:35-37. Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages and teaching their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And He was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And here's what I want you to see. Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He saw their need, and what was He doing? He was healing their diseases. Matthew 14:14. When He, Jesus, went ashore, He saw a large crowd, and He felt compassion for them, and He healed their sick. Matthew 20:29, and as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you? And they said to Him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And He said in verse 34, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and they followed Him. So we see God is a God of compassion. Now we knew that. But compassion often causes God to want to move there and to heal. Share one more story. This was after we had started the church. In the early days of this church, there was a couple that went to the church, and they were very integral parts of the church. But her, I think it was her aunt, was in the hospital. She had congestive heart failure, and I think she had kidney problems. And anyway, the two issues that she had were keeping her from getting healed, because they would treat one and it would cause the other one to get messed up and all that. And so anyway, she wanted us to go pray for her aunt. And so Donna and I were going, and the thing that we probably had the least of at that moment was compassion to do it. You had compassion, okay. Donna is always better than me. She is. Okay, well, it came on me too, but okay, don't mess my story up here, okay? All right, okay. All right, so I did not have compassion. It was pouring down rain. We were in East Cobb, and the hospital she was at was in West Cobb at Cobb General. And it was like, it seemed like it took like a traffic, and it looked like an hour to go. And the only reason I was going was because I knew I needed to, because the lady wanted me to go pray for her aunt. And I was a pastor, you know, I had to do it. So, so anyway, we got there, and Donna had compassion already, but I did not. But when we got in the room, the compassion of God hit me too. And so, you know, we're like in tears over, like, you know, this is had to be God. And so we just laid hands on her and prayed, and nothing happened. But then when we got home, the lady who went to the church, I'm trying not to mention names, she called us or told us somehow. She said, you know what my aunt said? It said, after y'all left, this man dressed in white came into my room and touched me right here, and I was healed. And she went, I mean, she went home, I think, the next day or that day, you know, healed. But that showed me, as much as anything, how compassion on us really causes God to use us in healing. But it has to be supernatural. I mean, Donna may have it in herself, but I me, I don't have that much compassion. But hopefully I do. But anyway, God, because He is a compassionate God, wants to heal you. And so we'll talk about some more next week. I got two more of these themes, and I want to talk to about closing the door to the enemy and next week in this part two of this series. But what I want to do today, I want to pray. One, I really believe that God wants to minister to us today to break off a mindset where we think that God is not good. Now, you know, if I were to ask anybody in this room, do you think God is good? You would say yes. Everybody here would say yes, I think God is good. But there's a difference between thinking it and deep in your heart, where, you know, you may have been bruised and beaten down and torn, but God wants to restore that heart, because that's the foundation for trusting Him in faith, is knowing that He's good, that He's a good God. And I really believe God wanted to, that's what the Lord's put on my heart for the last 3 or 4 days, is that He really wants to minister that He is good. So what I want to do is this. I want to just stand up, and I want you to stand up, and I want to sing, but I don't want anybody, I don't want the worship team to have to come up, because I want, if they need the ministry, I want them to be the free. But I want to sing that song, God is So Good. And I know some of you know it, can sing just from where you are, but everybody join in with singing that God is so good. If you have, because of whatever the reason, maybe because of things that have gone on recently in your life where God has seemed like He's lifted His hand off of you or whatever, or maybe it's the way you grew up. I want you to just come forward and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to break off that mindset that in your heart that God is not good, because He is good. So just come on to the front. God is good. I'm going to turn my mic off here to sing so I can sing too. Judy, let's see. Shelley, Judy, y'all know that song, God is So Good. Yeah.